Do you want to start?
Well, as I think I told you the other day, I looked forward to meeting you just recently as a man who had awakened, a man who had changed his life sharply in away from a life pattern very similar to mine. And in particular, I sensed that you were about the same age. Didn't realize that you were older than I.
By one day. Come on now. I expect respect,
seniority.
Too.
I actually was in dialogue for the first time yesterday with a high official of the Livermore Laboratories. First guy who had agreed to my frequent request that we have a talk and let's have lunch. And
so was that interesting? Like,
it was interesting. Yeah, it was interesting. But it will have to proceed. It was just the beginning. But it was just yesterday, in short, when somebody asked me, well, the difference between us, it seems to be, is whether you think it's more important for you to be alive or free.
Yeah.
And, you know, the dead or red thing. And this is a man who designs nuclear weapons now, thermonuclear weapons. He said, that's the difference between you and me, he said. And I said, no, that's not the difference. I said, I've had, I'm a little older than he is. And I said, I've had the occasion in many spheres of my life to decide whether things I would die for. And I faced that issue and found lots of things, you think, and was prepared to give my life in the Marines, in that context, in Vietnam, and when others showed that they were ready to give their liberty or their life, you know, I was ready to give my life for that. I thought I'd be not dead, but in prison for the rest of my life. That's giving it up. Give my life for freedom, not only for someone else's freedom or for the prospect of freedom. Yes, that is one of the things I would give my life for. Mm. And there are others. Even lots of others. I said, you know, you and I might give our lives this afternoon saving somebody on the street. Mm-hmm. In there. Of course, that's my thought. I said, the question really is, for what would I participate in killing 10 to 100 million people? For what cause would I massacre indiscriminately? That's the issue this country is facing, and that's the issue you're facing. Mm. And I said, do you believe that a nuclear war in Europe, just in Europe, limited to that, would serve the cause of freedom anywhere in the world? Mm. Well, a brief exchange. But that's focusing on this issue, but in part, but from what perspective? And now I'll be very, I rarely discuss this even in private, let alone in public. I'll tell you what was the information in my head, see, that I've been living with and trying to understand and pass on and change. It is this information, and I can put it in 2 points. I read our war plans in the late 50s and in 1960. I believe I was, and I had good reason to know, the only civilian who had ever seen these highest level Joint Chiefs of Staff war plans, the guidance for Strategic Air Command in its war planning. It gave the concepts, the types of targets, the occasions under which they'd be used, and so forth. Because by 1961, I was more familiar with war plans than any other civilian, I was given the job of recasting the Eisenhower-era war plans by issuing new guidance. And I wrote that, and McNamara did issue it, and my guidance was the new guidance for the war plans for the next several years, for the annual operational war plan of the United States, the highest level general war nuclear plan. But my first task was to bring to the awareness of a couple of other civilians, the Secretary of Defense and the President, what they didn't know about those plans and why they needed to be changed. I wanted them to be aware of two things in particular. The fact that these plans were first strike plans under most circumstances, not out of the blue initiation of hostilities, but they were plans for the initiation of nuclear operations by the United States in many circumstances. Actually, every circumstance of fighting Russians, amazingly enough. Second point was that under all circumstances of general war, they called for hitting every city in Russia and China even if the war initially was with Russia, they actually called for destroying Russia's partner, China, throughout this. And I thought it was very important that our president know this. I drafted some questions for the president to ask the Joint Chiefs. One of the questions was, if your plan is carried out as planned, in other words, not interfered with too much by the enemy or weather or something, and you hit the targets you mean to hit and so forth, how many people will be killed in Russia and China? Now, I had never happened to see an estimate of that, and I conjectured there wasn't any. And my reason in drafting that question was, I thought the JCS would either have to drum up an answer which would be inevitably very small and ridiculous, and then we could say, come, go back to the work. Or they would have to admit, embarrassingly, that they had never estimated that, which I suspected was the case. Mm. And then bureaucratically, that would put them on the defensive, and we could say, what? Yeah. You've got a plan? You don't even know, you know what you're yeah. killing and so forth. Good reason for changing it or looking at it again. I was wrong. These Americans came back.
Kennedy asked the question.
Kennedy asked the question, yeah. Right, among others. This was yeah. one of the questions. A chart came up to the Secretary of Defense and the President, which showed computer calculations on a chart of how many would die immediately in Russia and China, and how many month by month for the next 6 months. And it rose to the figure of 325 million people. So it was realistic.
It's quite a price so they knew. To preserve liberty, isn't it?
So they knew, what they were doing.
And
Finland would be wiped out by fallout without a single warhead falling on it by attacks on Leningrad and Murmansk because of the wind patterns. Austria, Afghanistan, Pakistan, to name some other, Pakistan wasn't neutral, but these were neutrals at the time. Japan would be wiped out by fallout from the attacks on eastern Russia.
China, and China.
Wiped out without fallouts. Europe would be devastated by the depending which way the wind blew, some variable there. Then you had the Russian reply, and you had the NATO weapons going in, which weren't part of my original question. The total bill could not have been less than 500 to 600 million people. So this was a plan by Americans, which, by the way, was not a conceptual plan.
This was an actual
this
war plan.
This was this year's war plan.
A plan, yeah.
And this year was 1961, the year of the Berlin Crisis.
Yeah.
When Kennedy told people to prepare fallout shelters by the end of the year. Do you remember that, actually?
Yeah, I do remember.
He said, by the end of the year, have your fallout shelter. I think that speech was in July of 1961, just before the Berlin Wall came in, height of the crisis. That was a year, I should bring in one other dimension to this. That was a year in which, early on in the year, I was still under the impression, when I was working on these plans, and when I framed these questions, that there was something of a missile gap, maybe not as large as we thought earlier.
Yeah.
Kennedy had campaigned on that issue, that the Russians would have immensely more missiles than we had that year, 1961. What we had by the middle of the year was 40 Atlas and Titan, the same kind of, well, an earlier Titan than the one we explored, 48 Polaris missiles, 100 IRBMs overseas, 3,000 bombers in range of Russia. The Russians had 190 bombers in range of the U.S. and 4 ICBMs. That I learned by the end of the year. That meant that the plan that I was working on, which on its face was a first strike plan, but which I had understood to be really just wishful thinking in that sense, because the Russians were bigger than we are. How could we strike them first?
It was really based on
that the plan I had worked on
was a straight
was nothing but a first strike plan. There was no chance of the Russians attacking us.
Yeah.
And the war that Kennedy was warning us about was not a nuclear war that would be initiated by Russians. Something I think understood by almost no one in the country, and not by me at the time either.
Yeah.
And this is the nature of the war. I said to this guy who was a designer of weapons just yesterday, I was going over some of this with him. This is information that I harangue,
I
monologue, because people don't know it, and I think it's important to know this, I think.
Yeah.
So I said to him, what do you think the number killed was? I went through this with him, actually. Now, what would your first strike plan have looked like? What do you think the plan was? He said, well, I would have just hit those four ICBMs. Very reasonable answer. Yeah. A single plane, actually a U-2, if it could carry a weapon, it doesn't have much payload, but a single plane with high explosive could have wiped out their entire one pad of four vulnerable liquid fuel missiles there, disarmed them with one plane. And by the way, one plane could get in with very high confidence, and you know, it's hard to detect.